Shark Chat Technorama, show number 65 for Monday, December 12, 2005.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractor. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fam. Milford trunnions. And the phasic lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplanaration. Retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. Be careful, the bridge ice is before the roads. There's your word of warning for the night. This is show number 65. Would that make it 101 in octal?
Actually, that's 41 in hex.
Yeah. It's 65 in decimal. You figure it out in binary. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my astute co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you?
I'm fine, Charles. How are you?
I'm wunderbar. And that's all the German we know tonight.
Yep. Auf Wiedersehen.
Feels good to be back in the saddle. We've got a lot of stuff to do tonight.
It feels like it's been a long time.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, we had the content for this show all done by Thursday night. That was 24 hours after the last show.
Yeah, we've been sleeping since then.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I've been editing. We've got a lot of cool stuff lined up, and trust me, there are some good things coming down the pike in Technorama. We've got a lot of things happening behind the scenes. This is, by the way, being recorded on Sunday night, even though we dated it as the Monday show. This is the one-year anniversary of ChuckChat.com.
Hey, congratulations, Chuck.
We went online. Well, thank the user, the listeners. God, every time I do that. Thank the listener, and we really appreciate your loyalty. If you're not subscribed, you might want to consider going over to the website or going to iTunes and figuring out the best way to subscribe through iTunes or your favorite podcatching client, and that will make life even better.
Yeah, you need a walker now. You're like a year old.
Or as they call them in the UK, a Zimmer frame.
A Zimmer frame?
That's what they call them. Yeah, that's what I learned on my 40th birthday.
Okay.
There are a lot of different things over there. Hey, we've got the usual tech history stuff to play, but coming up after that, we talk about all kinds of cool stuff. We've got part two of our interview with Podcasting for Dummies co-author T. Morris, and a couple of sites in the Geek Library you might be interested in.
Yes, sir.
So with that, let's do the usual history thing.
Do it! Do it! I dare you. Triple dog dare you.
Protocol, man. Protocol. On this day in tech history for December 12th, 2005. This is December 12th. It's the 346th day of the year. We're still using the Gregorian calendar. There are 19 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1719, the first U.S. newspaper, the Boston Gazette, is published. And on this date in 1872, a meteorite struck the earth near the town of Banbury, England. The first radio transmission across the Atlantic Ocean was made by Guglielmo Marconi on this date in 1901. And in 1981, the Chaos Computer Club is founded in Berlin. Happy birthday on this date in 1866 to Alfred Werner, the German chemist. And in 1892, Hermann Potocnik Nerdung, the Slovenian rocket engineer. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for December 12th, 2005.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi, and this is Johnny B. with MostlyTrivial.com. Ain't he funny?
Hey, I wasn't on the script.
Ain't he funny?
Craig, I gotta tell you, usually before the show, I do a little reading to my kids, partly as the parental thing, but the other benefit it has is it warms up the vocal cords for this show.
Oh, yeah? Maybe it wears them out a little bit.
I gotta tell you, I am worn out. I read for about an hour and a half. We're just getting to the end of the sixth Harry Potter book, the Half-Blood Prince. And it's, you know, there's always that part when you get to the last few chapters in a book, you just don't want to stop. Well, we're at that point, and we've got exactly one chapter left.
Why don't you just finish it, man?
Because I'd be talking like this tonight if I did.
That would make for a good show, wouldn't it?
There's something a little sinister about the way you said that.
No.
We'd have to pull up the RoboChuck 3000 again.
Yeah. Warning, Will Robinson.
We've got some feedback from one of our favorite listeners, Mark from Memphis.
Oh, bring it on.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hi, Jack, this is Mark in Memphis. Or you can go really geek if you want to leave you a message and have the voicemail number programmed into your cell phone that has voice recognition. So all I have to say is, check that. And it goes, calling.
I love that laugh.
Have a Marvy day. This is Mark in Memphis. Bye.
Now what Mark's talking about... Sorry.
The number you have reached has been changed. To a non-published number.
What Mark's talking about is at the end of the show, we always do our contact information. You can get a hold of us at chuck@chuckchat.com or craig@chuckchat.com or 206-222-CHAT and yada, 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 yada. I'm sure you all know the verses of that song by now. And that's what he was responding to. By now, he's got it programmed into his phone like all you good listeners should be doing, and he can just voice activate it. Now, I know my phone has this feature, but you know what? I just don't use it that much. I don't call the same person that much.
I use mine all the time, but I don't have to train it. My phone, I just hit the button and tell it.
Yeah, it's say the word for, you know, call Donna home, or you can just say answer, and it will answer. I always had problems with the answer part, though.
Well, I always say, I hit the button that says, please enter command or whatever, something like that, and I say, contacts, Chuck, you know, and it'll dial you.
Do you have a hands-free earpiece?
I do.
Bluetooth or wired?
No, it's wired.
Yeah, mine's wired, too. I've got a Bluetooth phone, but I never broke down and paid for the Bluetooth thing. Maybe we can get some product eval on something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about I could start with the Bluetooth phone. I don't even have one of those. I'm dying for something like that, but I have to start there.
Hey, we've got a couple of quick shout-outs. One from Brian Witt from Appleton. He's a local listener I spotted on the /.reviews Frapper map, and he and I have been conversing back and forth. Welcome, new listener Brian Witt from Appleton. He lives literally less than a mile away from me. And he actually came up with the idea and said, Chuck, have you ever thought of doing a show out there in the public, you know, kind of like Twit has done? And I said, yeah, the wheels are already in motion for that one. In fact, yesterday while I was out Christmas shopping, I went to one of the local eateries and stopped in and talked to the general manager and said, can I do this? I explained what I do, the whole internet radio thing, because you don't want to blurt podcasting in their face at first. They'll go, huh, what, turn blank and run away.
Yeah, right.
So I said, I do an internet radio show, blah, blah, blah. And she said, not a problem. I said, here's what I'm thinking. The second Saturday of each month, move our Sunday night show to like a Saturday evening. And they've got Wi-Fi, so we get Craig on the line and start out with an audience. It's good business for them because I'm coming by about dinner time, have more customers for them, and we hide out in the corner with the microphones and the mixer and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. There's a local restaurant in town that used to have a little radio show. It was our... We got a local AM station in town, and it's like old as dirt. Anyway, it's been around forever. Anyway, they have a little table in the restaurant, and it has a little plate on there, a little gold plate attached to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's where they do their talk radio thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
I want to do that because since doing that live show at the expo in our hotel room, I got the taste for a live audience and I loved it.
Mm, Chuck's got the itch.
Not sure whether I'm bringing the tinfoil hat though.
Yes. Oh,
for those people who are watching, you know that would probably be a good statement, except I'd have to wear my truckchat.com hat. That's not what's under this tinfoil, by the way.
I was going to say, why don't you make the Chuck Chat logo out of aluminum foil?
Or foil the Chuck Chat hat and cut out that little badge on the front that actually has the logo on it.
Drat, foiled again.
Second shout out is to my coworker Greg Hawley, who heard on our 23rd show, he was listening very intently, and he heard this little...
Wait, 23rd?
November 23rd.
Oh, okay.
And he heard this... I said, yeah, yes, I noticed that in when I have somebody on Skype or Gizmo, it comes through the mixer, and I thought it had something to do with the VoIP connection. He said, uh-uh, turn your IR port off. It's scanning, really? Like, every second it sends out these pulses, because if I move my palm nearby, you'll hear it go, wing, and you hear it wake up.
Are you talking about the IRDA on the laptop?
On the laptop.
Oh. Hmm.
And the circuitry somehow interferes with the soundboard. I said, Greg, that doesn't make any sense. You're talking about something that involves light with an audio port. He said, do it. I turned it off, and as you can hear in this show, and I've got the gain cranked tonight for Craig's end, there's no chirping anymore. So, thanks, Craig. Mm. Greg? Oh, God.
You're welcome.
With that, I need a few seconds to regather my thoughts while we listen to what's coming down the pike on the Friends
coming
in Tech.
December 18th, Friends in Tech presents a new holiday special. A Geek Christmas Carol, starring all the Friends in Tech members and some special guests. Subscribe to the RSS feed today to receive this special as soon as it's released.
You got your typewriter ready?
And now, the news.
Well, it's not really news today, but...
I don't even say anything anymore. I just let him get it out of his system.
Yeah.
You know, Charles Stell wrote me an email, and he said, you two remind me of my wife and me. So, apparently, we're somehow... No, I'm not even going to go there.
What does that mean?
I'm not going to go there. Just the way that we banter back and forth. We had that argument a week or so ago.
Oh, yeah, well. Oh, man. I don't know.
A Linux social experiment.
Yes, this is a pretty cool little article. I won't ruin the whole thing for you, but this guy basically dressed... Well, it's kind of hard not to ruin the whole thing. Anyway, the guy dressed up as a bum. He made Linux CDs, had a staff, stood out there with a sign all day long saying that, why pay for the privilege of using your computer, referring to Microsoft?
Mm-hmm.
You can use it for free. And he was trying to give away Linux disks to people in their cars rather than taking something... Like somebody panhandling.
Well, yeah, the funny thing is, everybody who came along in the morning was blindly thought he was panhandling. They didn't even read the sign. They were just throwing him, you know, restaurant coupons and money and cigarettes. And they thought he was just a regular bum. It's like, no,
Sounds like a good idea to me. I might do it. We'll podcast for food. I'll stand out there.
No, we'll podcast for bandwidth.
Yeah, that too.
I can feed myself.
Anyway, you have to read the whole article. That's a nice ending to it. And, of course, you know, where will the link be, Chuck?
On the show notes in the wiki. Oh, yeah. Yeah, go so we'll have that to in chuckchat.com.
But it's got kind of a Christmas feel to the article, so check it out.
Yeah, it really is. It's a nice human interest story.
Mm-hmm. So, the next one, bullet item we got here is, make someone a hard drive clock for Christmas.
This has got Technorama written all over it.
Oh, yes. Well, not literally, but yes.
Okay.
This guy took apart his hard drive, used the arms that do the read and write, or the read and write heads, used the arms and used those as the clock hands,
mm-hmm.
took the platter out and put a clock mechanism behind it and made a really nice clock out of the whole old hard drive.
I've got a really nice hard drive clock sitting right here behind me. If you look on the webcam, you'll see a 16-inch oxide-colored platter behind me.
Chuck's making up for something else.
Do you think he's compensating for something, Donkey?
Maybe we'll take a picture of it, stick it on Flickr so everybody can
I've got a really big clock.
Hey, baby. Actually, you know, I've done this before. I've taken, it was an old 80 meg hard drive. Actually, I bought several. This guy had, I think I spent like 30 or 40 bucks for a box of drives. And I made a good many of them. This was a long time ago. It was these old MFM drives, and I took the platters off, took the motor out, using blanks out of a computer case. I tried to use all computer parts, not, you know, just going to Lowe's and buying some. But I used the blanks to hold the platter in place, put a clock mechanism behind it, and had the hands showing, just regular hands, not the arms like he used.
Uh-huh.
And I put them back so it looked like the platters were where they were supposed to be. And you could stand it on your desk with the face of the drive down so it would kind of stand on its own. And it made a nice clock. I gave my boss one. I gave the time I gave my girlfriend's uncle one. And he worked at IBM. They just loved it. And other people came out of the woodwork. Hey, man, can you make me one? You know, I made a few of them until my supply went out. But that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, they're fun to make. I mean, the clock mechanism's like about $6 at the hobby store.
Yeah, so everybody says, hey, well, look at that doorstop. I was like, nope, I see a clock.
I see art. All right, wordsmiths have finally put the word podcast into the Oxford Dictionary.
Yay.
Yeah, and the geeks were all mad because Rootkit didn't make it this year.
Yeah.
They said they were thinking about putting the entry in the dictionary last year. However, it just wasn't popular enough. But since iTunes jumped on board and Yahoo and all those other guys, podcast is now an official word in the Oxford Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
How about that?
And another thing that's got Technorama written all over, especially this time of year when it's deer hunting season, and I live in the Great Northern Climes where people do this kind of nonsense. It's called Caller ID. Apparently, this guy didn't know when his phone was ringing because he lived in a cube farm and took the LED from his ringer and strung it up to his favorite picture of a whitetail buck or something and put the LED in the eye where the eye should go. So now when his phone rings, his deer kind of blinks at him, which is just kind of freaky on too many levels.
Well, yeah, it looks pretty funny. That's pretty cool.
And if that does it, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to jump to the next story.
Hey, well, you know, before you do that, this isn't really related to the deer. That is pretty funny. Today I had my iPod with me, and I had the iTrip with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to leave it in the car. You know, it's Christmas season. There's no way. So I carried it in, and I was in the Best Buy. Well, they had a bunch of radios on in the same station. Can you guess what I did?
No.
Rama decided to make an appearance on all those radios.
Oh, that's funny. That reminds me of what I was hearing with Richard Volbs.
It's Technorama this is Technorama for November 23rd, da, 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 or whatever.
Richard Volbs said he went up to London a couple days ago, and he went to the Apple store. And he put his show on all of the apples, and he had it blasting out the speakers, much to the chagrin of the store owners. I guess it didn't last long, but...
Yeah.
Well, weren't George and Kevin saying they did that a while ago? Or were thinking about doing that?
Oh, who was that? Somebody was going to the Apple store, and I was like, well, when you go, subscribe to Technorama on all the computers.
Yes, I knew it sounded familiar. I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, so if anybody's going to Best Buy or Apple Store, pull up iTunes and
share the love.
Yeah.
What a better place than the geek section at a store, right?
Yeah, well, it was funny. I was in Best Buy, and, you know, they got this music blaring from one of the top 40 stations or whatever, and all of a sudden, here Chuck chime in. This is Technorama for November 23rd. Da, 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 da.
On this day in tech history. Well, they'll think that's cool.
I just so happened to have a first run of our Geek Christmas Carol on there, too. I was tempted to play that over there, but ooh. I had to do Technorama.
Okay. Well, moving right along, this kind of falls into line with that caller ID thing. It is cold. It is winter here. There is snow on the ground. And if you want to see some way cool pictures of a way cool snowblower, This thing's got, what was it, a 450 small block? Yeah. Big honking engine driving a two-stage snowblower. And the heat, the cool thing is this thing's mounted backwards. So the what would normally be the fan and radiator facing forward on an automobile is facing back to the guy. So it keeps him warm. Now, the thing's got to be loud because it's got two straight-up stacks. And he runs the hot water from the radiator through the handle grips. So he keeps almost, plenty warm.
The not the first picture where he's actually holding, you know, operating it. But the other picture where he's obviously not behind it, it's just sitting there. It looks like somebody took the cab off of an 18-wheeler and exposed the engine and everything.
It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, the thing's got a transmission.
It's got a pumpkin, a differential inside of the first stage.
That's not
like that's. I don't understand how you turn this thing. It's got four wheels.
Well, it's got blades on the front, so you can actually cut a path.
How
swath,
do you?
I guess more
it?
Like it. It's pretty cool.
And also on the topic of cold and freezing, there are some videos that we're going to point you to for freaky cold tricks. This guy left some water, just you know, regular bottled water, out in his garage, and it got. Around 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And it was still liquid, but then when he opened up the bottle and poured it out, it froze. And there's a good... It was super cooled. There's a good explanation to why it did that. I read the whole thing and went, that is really cool. I've got to try that. But I haven't...
I saw the video, but I didn't read the whole thing. I didn't read the whole thing, but I saw one of the videos, and it was cool because he shakes the bottle and there's water in it. And it's fine, but as soon as it starts pouring, it starts to gather at the
neck,
at the nose, and you know. But when he poured it into the glass,
it turns to slush.
What little bit he got? No. What little bit he got into the glass? I think it was fine. It was around the edge of the bottles where
yeah, it was
freezing.
Just some neat science experiments.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, this is Steve Holden at TechNewsRadio.com, and I found another item that got me sidetracked from real work, and I thought I'd pass it along to listeners of Technorama. It is the unofficial LEGO Builder's Guide from No Starch Press that includes complete instructions, and I quote, for building several models that also encourages readers to use their imaginations to create their own fantastic designs. Some of the key points that they try to outline here in this press release, some of the best ways to connect bricks and how best to use patterns, tricks for calculating and building to scale, how to build and think in 3D, step-by-step plans on how to create a train station on scale for Lego people, how to build spheres, jumbo size Lego blocks, I guess using jumbo size Lego blocks, including the small ones, and how to design a mini space shuttle, and they also have some tips and tricks, of course, throughout the book. The book sells for $25 U.S. and is 367 pages long, which is pretty long for a standard book from No Starch Press, I think. ISBN number is 1-59327-054-2. Sounds like a great present for you guys to give me for Christmas, so I will be standing by the mailbox waiting for that to happen. For more information about my podcast, check out www.technewsradio.com. Have a great day.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, appreciate
forgot
that,
my
Steve.
Mic was down.
Hey, listen,
Great idea.
Yeah, I came up with this other day in our mailing list we have for Fit. I was like, I just felt a little particularly goofy, and I was like, hey, everybody post what your screens look like, and we started doing that, and I started thinking, you know what? I'm going to take it a step further. I wanted to ask all of you guys to take a screenshot of what your screen looks like, and yeah, of course, don't have any personal information or anything that you don't want to share, but take a screenshot, upload it to Flickr, or something like that on your FTP at your website where it's available. Either send us a link to it, or if you go to our wiki, I'm going to have a wiki page set up just for this. Put a link to your screenshot. I'm just curious to see what everybody's screens look like.
You want to see some of those Snap-on tools, girls, don't you?
Chuck, you weren't supposed to say that.
Hey, we're all about that. We may be geeks, but we're not dead.
Yes, right. See, you can read the menu, but you can't order the food.
We'll have a link in the fun and game section on the CC Wiki, also in the show notes, blah blah blah.
Yeah, so link it yourself or email us if you got something.
Yeah, if you have absolutely no way to upload those pictures,
Send us the email with a picture attached. That'd be cool.
Yep. All right, we're going to get started on our second installment of the T. Morris interview. He's the co-author of
Podcasting for Dummies.
Thank you. And we'll be right back. Was there synergy between you and Evil right from the start, or did that develop over time?
Right from the start. It was, well, granted, in the first interview that I did with them 3 years ago, it was kind of standoffish. I mean, they were trying to feel me out, and they were like, who is this guy? He's with a small press, first-time author, okay, mm-hmm. He's got the wide-eyed thing happening, sure. You've written a book. Very nice, son. Very nice.
Please, well, have a seat.
Yes, thank you. Well, don't call us. And
step and then, forward, Scarecrow.
Well, anyway, after they interviewed me, they read Moravi. They called me up and they said, "You're coming back on the show because we loved this book." And if you've ever met Evo or heard Evo on his various podcasts, Evo is very, very strong when it comes to his opinions. And the fact that Evo was praising so highly this fantasy novel, and he doesn't read fantasy well, I was tickled about that. Mm-hmm. And even on the second interview, I felt like I was feeling the guys out. Well, then they started calling me at random times, because they needed somebody to fill in some extra space, and they said, "Well, we'll call T. We know he can talk a lot."
Do you know it's 3 a.m?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, guys, you know, come on, leave me alone. This number has been blocked. But then after we started setting up this rapport, I flew out to Phoenix in 2003 for the first time and hung out with them for an entire weekend, and we just clicked. We clicked automatically. And I really dig working with Evo. I mean, he really is. He's just like me, but he's exactly the opposite of me, all in the same vein. And any chance we get to hang out, I look forward to it.
What about the writing part of it? Was there any Did it flow smoothly at first, or were there?
We had our moments, because I was gearing up for the premiere of Legacy of Moravia in the summer, mm-hmm. And Evo was basically juggling his podcast, and we were both trying to make time for the Podcasting for Dummies book. All the while, Evo and I both have our day jobs, so there was a lot happening all at once, and there were times where I would cover for Evo would cover for me, and I even told Wiley about this, that first computer book that I wrote, I was so badly burned by it that I was not trusting Wiley for the longest time, and I was very, very suspicious of Wiley. Now, the first computer book I wrote wasn't with Wiley, and I learned that very quickly after I got over that fear. The other thing that helped was that whenever Evo needed to bitch, I was there. If I ever needed to bitch, Evo was there. And we were both working. I feel very lucky. My first book was a co-writing effort. The writing guides that I collaborated with, they were all collaborations. And then the thing I did with Evo was a collaboration. And all of my collaborations have been working out really, really well. But I must admit, it was fun, but it was also one of the most professional relationships I've had with another writer, because when Evo corrected me, he always backed it up with fact. Mm-hmm. And you know, he kept me honest, and I kept him honest, and everything worked out great. But I knew how much fun we were having when we were writing this book, and I made a joke in one of the passages about, oh, I was talking about finding your voice, you know, presenting an original podcast.
Oh yeah, yep.
And I was saying, you know, if you want to be the first person to do the official curling podcast, do it. Because right now there's nothing like that in the podosphere. And Evo looked up at me, and and I wrote that passage in June, and I had done a search. I had done a search on Podcast Alley. There were no curling podcasts. And Evo looked up at me, and he said, "Have you done a search lately?"
Oh, no.
And I said, "Evo, it's curling. Come on." And we both looked at each other, and silently, we just got up, went to a computer, did a search.
And there it was.
Two of them. Two curling podcasts. I was stunned. I was like, "You've got to be kidding me!" So, but that was how much fun we were having. You know, we were scrambling. We were scrambling like maniacs and giving ourselves a stopping point when all the stuff with the iTunes hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And now because of the second printing, we're getting a chance to go back and correct some of the stuff that we might have rushed through or we want to change, because that's the thing about podcasting. It is so. It's been ever since Steve Jobs, you know, gave Adam Curry the nod.
Mm-hmm.
We have been scrambling to try to keep everything current.
Oh yeah, and, good luck.
Yeah, no, and you can't. I mean, right now one of the things that I'm starting to find more and more fascination about is something called enhanced podcasting. And I describe enhanced podcasting to people as the happy medium between vidcasting and podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that I'm kind of snickering at the video casting people. And you guys know what I'm talking about because we're all in the same Yahoo podcasters group. I really had to bite my tongue and pull back away from the list when people were making these posts on, "I just finished my 30-minute video cast, and it's 100-and-something megabytes. What do I do?" And I wanted to write back, "Make a shorter cast," because it's video, Sparky. It's video. I've worked with digital video since Premiere version 4.2. You know, this was in the 90s when I bought for $1,200, I bought a 9-gigabyte drive. And I remember a friend of mine said to me, "What are you going to do with 9 gigabytes of memory, man?"
You never use that much.
Exactly. And I'm like, and I just looked at the guy and I said, "You've never worked with digital video." And you know, and really, that's you know, the thing I like about enhanced podcasting is that yeah, they're bigger than the average podcast, but you get some of the neat things that vidcasts offer. You know, you've got hyperlinks, you've got the still images. It's really cool, and unfortunately, we didn't have a place to put that in this book.
You're right.
However, if a second edition comes out, I guarantee you there's going to be something in there on enhanced podcasting.
You know, sure. What's funny about this book is this is the first book that I've ever read where I've heard both authors first. So as I'm reading through this, the voices actually switch while I'm writing. I can tell what parts Evil wrote and what parts you wrote, and it switches funny. Voice.
Now that could actually be a fun contest. Who wrote this section?
Just highlight the book in yellow or green or something.
There you go. You know, who wrote the following phrase? Da 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 da. You know, that's and you know that I think shows you kind of the synergy of me and Evo is that you can read it and you know Chuck, you've heard both of us, so mm-hmm. You kind of know you know the different voices. But you got to admit, our styles are almost identical.
There were some gray areas where I can't tell.
Right. And that to me is the sign of two really, really good friends and really good writers sitting down and talking about the same thing with the same passion and the same voice. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whatever voice you may hear, the passion is always there. And that's something that I can honestly say, apart from my fiction, this is the most passionate thing I think I've ever written.
Well, let me ask you a question. With the Dummy series, did they give you a guideline or maybe or guide you in a direction? Because all the books, you know, have kind of a similar feel a little bit to them, you know, across the board.
They have very specific styles on how to do things. And they even sent us other For Dummies books related to what we were doing mm-hmm. as guidelines, and that was real. That was extremely helpful. And you know, some For Dummies books are more flippant than others. Some For Dummies books are more technical than others. And that's what Eva and I were trying to do. We were trying to find the fine line between both. But the For Dummies people were very, very specific on what they wanted from us, and they also leaned on us if we went into a direction that, that the Dummies folks didn't want us to go into. One passage in particular, I was talking about the different types of podcasts that you could do. I'm sorry, different types of radio shows you can listen to. And I listed, I was talking about the evolution of talk radio and how there were some people that do it specifically for entertainment. I mentioned Don and Mike and Ron and Fez. I talked about talk radio shows that went into politics with Rush Limbaugh on the right and Al Franken mm-hmm. on the left channel. And mm-hmm. then I had this phrase where I said, and then you have those bottom feeders. And in parentheses, I put Bill O'Reilly and Opie and Anthony. and they sent me back.
That'll leave a mark.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. We don't want to alienate our readers. And I go, no, but I want to alienate those guys. Yeah. because at the time, Opie and Anthony were still in the air here in Washington, D.C., and I'll never forget it. I was actually writing, and sometimes when I write, I have the radio going in the background. And this was before I got into podcasting. I had forgotten to change the station, and Opie and Anthony came on, and I reached for the button to change it, and then that was when the whole thing in the
church.
Yeah. I heard it all go down, and I'm laughing like a hyena, not because I think this is a funny radio, but that I am listening to this, to the very last show ever produced by Ron and Fez, produced by Opie and Anthony for WJFK. And I was like, oh, how awkward is this going to be? And it got so awkward I had to turn it off. I mean, I could just feel the tension rising every time those guys opened their mouths, and I said, yeah, these guys are done. But Wiley has very specific rules. You know, you can't dog on too many people. You can't do this. You can't. But then the great thing about writing for Dummies is you can use as many pop culture references as you.
Oh yes, those were plenty.
One of my favorites. And Evo and I are like the masters of pop culture references. And one of my favorites that made it in the book, I was so tickled that it made it in the book, I was talking about when do you make an investment in your recording equipment. And I always go back to the opening scene of the Blues Brothers.
Uh-huh.
When he goes, where's the caddy? The Bluesmobile. I traded it
for a microphone.
You traded the Bluesmobile for a microphone? Okay, I can see that. You know, I mean, it's such great comedy. But it was so appropriate for talking about podcasting. Because, you know, you hear people go, you spent how, you know, I mean, when you look at the pictures of Mike Menengay's setup at Draco Vista Studios, and you go, and you're not making any money off? Well, you know, I can see this. That means this makes sense.
I love how you justified it, too.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
The guy next door, he's got two jet skis. Does he make any money off his jet skis? No. Hey, honey, I need about $5,000.
Exactly. You know what I mean? No. When I invested in my own modest setup, I invested maybe $400 or $500. And I still get, and I get a very nice quality sound. When the podcast started getting international responses, and then when I got this gig with Podcasting for Dummies, and the way the podcast was stimulating sales for both Moravi and Legacy of Moravi, my wife turned to me one day, just completely after I was telling her about you know how things were going with Podcasting for Dummies. Got real quiet in the car, and then my wife turned to me and she said, I really was hoping that this podcasting thing was going to be something where I could say, I told you so. But I can't do that. So I'm glad it's working out for you. And she said in such a begrudging tone, I said, that hurt. I said, that hurt, didn't it? She was like, you have no idea.
Well, at least you didn't jump up and say, I told you so!
No, exactly. My wife also studies Taekwondo. She would kick my ass in a heartbeat. So
I told you, pap!
I told you so.
Flying fist of death! So...
I listened to Chuck Tomasky and Greg Steppy from the Technogrammar Pottercast, and you should too.
We're not sure how that last guy got into there, but...
Yeah, we'll let anybody on our show.
he's still rambling on about the mistaken names thing that we're having fun with. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back a couple of shows. Hey, I got to give one quick more thank you for the last year's worth of podcasting, and that goes to my spouse of 18 years. 17? 18? What year is this? Doesn't matter. It's been a long time.
2012.
It's been a wonderful long ride, and she has just been amazing. And thank you to Craig's wife also for allowing him to sit in the hot seat once a week.
Yeah, I'll tell her thank you for you. Actually, I have to say that too, because you know I crawl up here and hang out every Wednesday and Sunday night, and she's really good about it. So I have to thank her as well.
Into the Geek Library.
Yes, let's dive in.
Turn those pages.
We've talked about Slashdot, huh?
We've talked about Dig.
Now there's Slashdig.
Does that just sound funny?
Yeah, it does sound funny. It's a site that combines all the news aggregated from both sites into one page. You can look at the news side by side. It's split up into, like, Slashdot is on the left and Dig is on the right. You can switch them. You can frame them out, or you can combine them, which is what I like. And it looks like one big list, and out to the side it says Dig, 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 Slashdot, 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 Dig, Dig, you know, so on and so forth. So it's very easy to look at. If you read both those sites, go for it. /dig.
Which is really a good place because we get a lot of our stuff from there, too. I like it. I don't know. It's good source for a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just have RSS feed set up somewhere. But, yeah, it's a nice-looking site, so something to go check out.
It's using div tags or Ajax or something because it's very responsive in the way that it's displaying and delivering the information.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to dig into that one.
One of the other things I've found...
And slash it apart.
And then dig it
in. Slash it apart.
One of the other things I found was I think I may have seen this once before. It's called Fake or Photo. There are some CG images and there are some real photos. And it's a quiz. You get 10 guesses. They show you a picture and they say, is this real or is it computer generated? And some of them are very hard to tell. Some are real obvious, but some are not what you'd think.
But I'm going to do it right quick. I think that's CG. That's right. You go through and you pick either whether you believe a picture is one or the other.
Yep.
And there's 10 pictures on here. Let's see.
Yep.
I think that's... I'll say that's real, that's CG.
I took a quiz a long time ago. Monkeys.
CG. How many I got correct?
Also wanted to mention that we've got at least one more part. I think we've got two more parts to our interview with T. Morris. Yes?
I got 3 out of 10.
You stink.
Yeah.
You could have just gone real, 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 real and got better than that.
Yes. Well, I was trying to be honest.
They're very good at fooling Craig. We've got two more parts of our T. Morris interview, and Thursday night, just past Thursday night, we talked to none other than Patrick Norton from Digital Life TV and Twit. So we will have that coming up shortly.
He was a lot of fun to talk to.
He was awesome. A lot of fun. He was interviewing on borrowed time, though. His wife called in the middle of the interview and said, honey, come home! And our list of interview candidates is really long. If you can't guess, you can probably tell we like talking to these people. I'm not sure if they like talking to us, but it sure is a lot of fun talking to these people.
Which begs the question, do you like us talking to these people? So if you like interviews, want somebody interviewed, or have some suggestions on how we're interviewing, send them across.
Absolutely. Or if you just want us to throw the whole idea in the can, we're entertaining that as well. Not sure we'll do it, but we're entertaining it. It's kind of like the geek's version of collecting baseball cards. We're collecting interviews with famous people, usually in the tech, science, or sci-fi area.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe we should interview each other one night.
Well, that would be interesting. Don't we do that every show? So, Craig, what was your first computer? Never mind. We got to wrap this up.
Hey, I was going to tell you.
Okay, tell me. Sorry. Next show.
Yeah. It was a... You can find out next time on Technorama.
What a cliffhanger that is.
Yeah. How many computers has Craig done? Find out next week on Technorama.
Dun, 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 dun.
Anyway, here's how you can contact us. Let's go through the motions once again. It's 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chucktag.com or email comments at chuckchuck@gmail.com. My energy just kicked in. And you can email me at craig@chuckchuck.com. You can email the website at chuckchuck.com with all the forum swag, webcam, and all that good stuff, and links to our forums over at Fit and... Can I put my blog again?
Do it.
Go to spindle.com, S-P-Y-N-D-L-E, and check it out. I post stuff up there all week long.
When you mentioned go through the motions, all of a sudden I had, we should have some sort of YMCA thing for this outro, you know, with the arms going. Until next time, thanks for listening. Big binary high five.
101, or 41 in hex.
Bye, y'all.
This concludes side one. Please turn over and listen to side two.